There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
In prepping for today's episode, I was rethinking about the Montauk Project and how funny it was, the idea that Duncan Cameron had a focus to keep the time tunnel open, right? So anything, if he sneezed, if he farted in the middle of the thing,
started testicles itching,
another Montauk boy, gone.
Yeah.
Another Montauk boy. And I was just thinking about the idea of like, but it's also like in New York, so how do you avoid the dent? From all of our neighbors.
What are you talking about?
You never dealt with that?
Oh, with the reggaeton?
Oh,
it's really bad. He turned reggaeton into fucking Polish music.
Yeah, you turned the Polish... No, reggaeton is...
Hey! No, mine is the...
No,
that's because you lived off of Fresh Pond.
Yeah, you turned into shitty polka.
That's my family. That's my family lineage. And you can't come at me today because today I'm in charge.
That he is. Welcome to Last Podcast on the Left, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Marcus Parks, and today I'm handing the reins over. Once again, I've handed them over to Ed Larson in the past, and he's knocked it out of the fucking park. But today I'm handing the reins over to Mr. Henry Zebrowski.
My goal is infield home run. My goal is one of those bunts that confuses
that
everyone.
Keep missing the first baseman, and they miss the second baseman. Yeah. And he just keeps going.
That's the idea, and that the man somehow has been allowed by other teammates to score.
Well, I got a feeling you're gonna be called out at home.
I always am.
And of course, we have the skeptical Ed Larson here.
Hey, how you doing? I am ready to learn whatever Henry throws at me, but I am a little upset that you feel like you couldn't hold your concentration during a fart.
I'm not me.
Farts don't faze me.
Oh, no. I'm talking about Duncan Cameron. I'm talking about turtle-necked Long Island psychic.
I think that man doesn't even know he farts.
No. Yeah. Another secret admission. All it is just his fuel. That's his psychic fuel coming out the back end. Yeah. So today I wanted to cover something short and sweet for my very first
just
lead
like you.
Episode of me. No, man, I'm short and sour. He's sour tasting. You know?
It's like a pickle you left on the floor.
Yeah, all covered in shit and cum and wee. But that's just, again, that's my judgment on me. And I'm better than this.
Yes.
But today I wanted to do something, a micro topic that we could cover very easily, because I don't want to go too far into the lore. I don't want to ruin people's weeks.
Right.
We just did that the last 2 weeks in a row with the Montauk Project, and I decided to add a little bit more confusion to everybody's life.
That's great.
By covering a subject that I was just personally interested in and wanted to know the backdrop of. And it's amazing how much you can learn and also not learn in a short period of time.
Okay.
Now, today's episode, we are covering the Black Knight satellite, which is, you know, it's huge.
The Martin Lawrence vehicle?
Yes. Yes, it is. The Black Knight satellite is actually, it's Black Knight 2. Yeah. It's featuring Dave Matthews from the Dave Matthews Band, playing a white woman.
Yeah, the song Satellite.
Go here. Satellite. Anybody got
Gina!
Dude, Satellite's a great song to get finger banged to if you haven't done it yet. Right? Night Swimming. Satellite, Night Swimming, both great songs to get finger banged to by some guy you'll never know again.
See, I thought you were saying, go Night Swimming, get finger banged to Satellite. I don't know what Night Swimming is.
Yeah,
night
I don't either.
Night Swimming, girls are quiet now.
That's not a finger bang song. That's a finger massage song.
No.
It's like a slow insert.
You've never done a slow dip? That's what I call it.
A slow dip.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was going to say, because when you say finger bang, you know, that's like, yeah.
See,
I'm fucking digging tunnels.
No matter what I'm doing it romantic.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the difference between us, isn't it?
Well, the word bang is not, there's no romance in bang.
Yeah, sometimes see, for me, if it's finger banging, you're definitely listening to new metal. You're listening to you're Disturbed, you're Papa Roach.
SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. What is your soundtrack when you're finger banging? But today's topic is very interesting. There's a lot of ins and outs, mostly ins. But tonight we're going to decide and we're going to, because it's up to the audience.
Yeah.
Right? It's not up to us what's real and what's not real. Right? Because I refuse to do that for you. I won't do that for you because guess what? You're a fucking adult, even if you're a child. Because if you're listening to this, you should be an adult. But if you're a child listening to this, now you're an adult. Go out there, buy a pack of cigarettes, get into the workforce. Honestly, looking for the 10-year-olds to start working.
I mean, Enzo is definitely listening.
Mm-hmm.
He's an 11-year-old that came to my show in Panama City. He's definitely listens.
He drove himself. He drove himself. He lives by himself. Enzo, a dude, honestly, come work for us. Today's is all about objects in the sky. You know I like my shapes. Some shapes are more distinct than others. You have the jellyfish, which I love. Mm-hmm. Saucer shapes. Everybody likes to think about cookies and milk. Saucers wobbling on the ground. Named by Kenneth Arnold in the 1940s because of the way they moved on top of the water. He said it was like a saucer on the water.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Kenneth Arnold kind of kicked off the whole flying saucer phenomenon right before Roswell. He was a pilot that saw a bunch of shit in the sky, a lot of flying saucers in the sky. And that was back when things were still sort of taken seriously. And oh, fuck, we don't know what the hell this is.
And they wiggle like this. Sometimes they're S-shaped. Sometimes they're pogo-shaped. Sometimes they're shaped like orbs, and sometimes they're shaped like your mama's panties. But this
triangle.
Is... Yes. Exactly. Very large coverage. But the Black Knight satellite is something distinctly different. It looks solid, scary. It looks like a Batman vehicle, okay. Right? In the sky. That's what's awesome about it. Now, what is the Black Knight satellite, you ask? Good thing you asked. 13,000 years ago, an advanced alien civilization left a probe in Earth's orbit to keep an eye on the social hairless apes that had recently evolved into an organized group capable of molding the environment to their will.
So this is like pre-Noah.
Definitely. That probe.
Ed, in the terms that we're about to head into, we call it antediluvian.
Thank you. Yeah. Before the flood, before I got wet.
Yeah.
Now, this probe could record events and communicate updates to the Bootes constellation.
Are you sure that's how it's pronounced?
Bootes.
Oh, yeah.
It's either Bootes or Bootes. 103 million light years away. And that probe could very well be the Black Knight satellite. Or it's a blanket. Could be either one. 50-50. That's what I think. I think the odds are straight down the middle.
Now, what kind of blanket?
Black. Now, this story is...
Space blanket. A space blanket.
But yeah. It's not made out of, like, linen.
No. It's a blanket in the most broad of terms.
Okay. It's a fire retardant blanket.
Oh, you're just trying to say the word.
I'm allowed to within the word retardant. It is a retardant-based blanket made from retardant and used to be a retardant. Now, there are some people that don't know what this. The reason why it's floating up in the sky, it's very sick. So this was seen at first by the modern audience in 1998. Now, this is viewed as a piece of space junk. At first, when this came out, there was this picture. It's labeled STS-088-724-66 in the NASA archives. Right? You look at it, it's cool looking. It's this picture. Here they kind of added like a blur to it to make it look more UFO-y. But if you actually look at the picture, it's pretty fucking dope because it looks like this weird, mysterious speck right above our pale blue dot. And you could see why when people first saw it when it was published in 1998, everyone was like, what the fuck? There's something in the sky. Yeah. Right?
And in 1998, like, America was very much, like, into X-Files. You know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, alien, like, you saw the gray alien
Independence
head.
Independence Day is only 3 years old.
Yeah. It's, yes. Aliens are everywhere. People are primed to believe in the late 90s, back when we still had, hope.
Yeah, and faith. And this is, because it seemed interesting. This is one of those things, why UFOs were the gasoline behind the internet. Because people were, like, all the OG boards, most of them were ufology boards. Mm-hmm. So when 1998, when this hit the internet, It was like deep in the conspiracy realm. And there are several other pictures of it, if you believe people that have been, who've made the Black Knight satellite their entire lives. Now, the reason why it was so interesting was because it corroborated with these old ideas of people seeing things in the sky and getting messages from things in the sky over a long time ago. Now, the first thing was seen in 1953. Dr. Lincoln La Paz of the University of New Mexico discovered an unknown satellite orbiting Earth. La Paz reported a discovery to the U.S. Department of Defense, who contacted Dr. Clyde Tombaugh. Now, it's important to know. Now, Dr. Clyde Tombaugh, big guy in space industry.
Okay.
He's Pluto's agent. He discovered Pluto.
Okay.
So Pluto obviously had put on I believe it was a bringer show.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of went there because that's big. You guys don't know, in the space entertainment industry, what a planet has to do is, first of all, be willing to do nudity. And then you have to put on, obviously, dramatic monologue, comedic monologue, dance song.
Yeah.
And she did all of it. Pluto's a woman.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yep. Pluto's a fucking woman. First of all, fuck you. Yep. Yeah, Pluto's a lady. And that's Dr. Clyde right there. Dr. Clyde had the wherewithal. When he saw Pluto's huge tits, he knew Pluto was going to make it real far in the solar system.
But Pluto was a planet, and then they took its rights away as a planet and then gave them back.
Exactly.
It's a planet again.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not.
It is not a planet.
It's not a planet.
Absolutely not.
My very energetic mother gave us 9.
Yep, exactly. What? Don't know. Don't know. All we know is that Pluto is not good enough anymore. It's been cut.
Really?
Right? But Dr. Clyde was, he knew, Dr. Clyde was the first person they called, right? Because again, who knows the space industry better than him? Ain't nobody, right? Except for Dr. Jupiter. Tombaugh confirmed the existence of the unknown satellite, but his findings were never officially released to the public. Too intense for everyone.
And it's like the late 50s.
Yes, this was in mid-50s. The Army Office of Ordnance Research investigated the claims of La Paz and Tombaugh, but declared the unknown satellites, quote-unquote, did not exist. And that's the beginning of the government cover-up. It's November of 1954 in Chicago. Radio DJ Jim Mills and his guest, ufologist John Otto, they attempted to then contact these rumored unidentified satellites orbiting the Earth, believing that they could get a response.
Is your refrigerator running?
Yes. No, you bastard. Mills and Otto, they sent a message to space, and this is what they sent. This is Jim Mills. I invite you and those in flying discs listening to stand by for a message from the friendly people of Earth. We desire to communicate with you. We will hold a 15-second period of silence for you to cut in and speak to us through the transmitter. At 11:25 p.m., Mills shut off the microphones in the studio for 15 seconds. You want to hold for 15 seconds to see how long that is? Extremely long time to have dead air.
Yeah.
Right? Extremely long. Yeah, you would not know. You would not know. And when Mills and Otto came back on the air, the switchboard lit up with calls from listeners all saying that they had heard the aliens reply. In what way would you guess, Eddie?
I guess telepathically.
No. Sleigh bells. Oh, jingling.
They said it sounded somewhat like a version of Jingle Bells.
The song or bells jingling?
Bells jingling.
Well, I read both. I read that it was sleigh bells, but I also read, it may have been erroneously reported, that it was a version of Jingle Bells.
I am getting corrected on my own episode.
Jingle Bell. Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells.
Jingle all the way.
Jingle all the way. Jingle all the way.
I'm definitely a fond of the dog version.
Oh my God, there's corgis on the moon.
It's a fascinating story behind that. But the whole story behind this, the barking dogs, it's like early sampling. It's incredible stuff.
Oh, yeah. Fascinating. What we're really going to get into today.
This is turning into a no dogs in space.
It's slowly but surely getting pulled to the side. So, you know, with people, one of the two of the people that called to say, hey, we heard the Jingle Bells, the original Doublemint twins.
Oh, both of them cold?
Yeah, because they actually survived the experiments of Mengele, which I thought was amazing. That was, I guess that's why they got chosen, is that he would put, you know, obviously, he'd slice them in half and then have one eat spearmint and have the other eat berry and see if the one could taste the other in their asshole. Yeah. and also, they were just regular sisters, Marie and Mildred Meyer, who had recorded the alien message, apparently. The story brought the attention of the CIA's office of Scientific Investigations, who interviewed the Meyer sisters and confiscated their recording. Later, the CIA claimed the recording was just Morse code from a nearby radio outpost and destroyed the evidence.
What about the sleigh bells, though?
Gone.
What was in the Morse code message?
Something about how, oh, you better not be Jewish or Santa's not coming to your house.
Right? What is it? The CIA Office of Science Investigation?
Yeah, Scientific Investigation.
I'd never heard of that.
This is another one of those, like, if we were to open the top of any one of these intelligence offices, they always have, like, mini groups.
Yeah.
Think about what OSAP was, what ATIP was, all of these things with inside. That's how they keep you from understanding what all the other different parts are doing.
Yeah, because ATIP's a part of the NSA, right?
No, it's all, technically, it's Pentagon.
It's Pentagon.
So they're DOD.
DOD, okay.
So DOD's got its whole old realm of shit. The NSA's got its whole realm of shit. CIA's got a whole realm of shit. Each one, some of the best coworkers I've ever had. Truly some of the most bright, fair, and diverse group of people.
I hear. Yeah.
Now, this next one is where you could see. So in 1957, the Soviet Union launched Earth's first official satellite. This is just 3 years later. Sputnik. And followed up with Sputnik 2, which was honestly great. A lot more nudity. And with the first, and then right behind it, trailing behind Sputnik 2, was Laika. The dog.
The dog, yeah.
So, like, yeah, and they swore. They totally believed, and they said that they thought that Laika, they did a whole thing about how that's where the barking was coming from.
Yes. Holy shit, she can sing!
You know what that is, though? In dog, that was, please help me, oh my God, help me, I'm burning up inside of this capsule.
Now, I thought Sputnik was Russian.
It is.
Oh, I thought you just said it was American.
No, we're watching. So these bees went up in the sky. So this was like the first man-made satellite to go into space.
These are the first satellites that we put up into space.
Oh, yes, okay. The humans.
Not discounting the possible Black Knight satellite that might have been there for the last 13,000 years.
Came from somebody else!
It could just be like a fucked up rock.
Hey! But maybe that fucked up rock used to have a life of its own. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they said that, like, they said Laika lived up there for 10 days, definitely didn't live more than 5 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, we know okay. that. But the fact that it lived at all showed that something could live in space. So good work, Laika.
Yeah. And I think they sent up, 70 some odd dogs in all.
The 71 more dogs.
Yeah.
But only 17 died, according to the Soviet Union.
You know, people always complain when people put their dog on a hang glider or take it scuba diving. It's not worse than this.
I don't think that's good either. I don't like it when people... Why do people take their pets to extreme sports?
I mean, if they're chill, sure. If they're not chill, don't do it.
What do you mean if they're chill? Like, that it's fine with being deployed into the sky?
I saw this golden retriever paragliding the other day, and I was like, that dog's happy as fuck.
It's not happy. It's frightened. It doesn't know what to do.
There's this bulldog that skateboards. He loves it.
That's different. That's cute as hell, and that's ground-based.
But it's still extreme sports.
But you don't
But you can't put... I can't put Georgie on a hang glider.
You couldn't handle it.
Can you imagine throwing Carmy into a hot air balloon basket?
She couldn't handle it. Carmy's not made for it.
No dog is.
Really cool, calm golden retrievers. I feel like
the only one that ever could have done it was Air Bud, and he's dead.
Yeah. It's in his name.
He died. But I'm saying, he died in the sky.
Yeah.
Okay? I believe he died at the hands of his owners.
I think it was CTE from...
God, that's what happened. Yeah.
From being a receiver. For
yeah, he killed his mommy and daddy with his weight machine.
Yeah, I didn't think about it. They never did give that dog a helmet.
No. No. And then once it got into the hard drugs, because that's the thing, everyone wants to meet Air Bud, but no one wants to be Air Bud.
Yeah. Oh, God, the years of Air Bud and Lawrence Taylor together. Oh, my God.
Give me some of that cortisone shit. Yeah, come on. Fuck. Come on. You know I'm good for it, Doc.
Live from your grave.
So Sputnik, when Sputnik and Sputnik 2 were
Sputnik.
In... Sputnik. I hate having the outline. When Sputnik and Sputnik 2 were in orbit, many scientists observed the artificial these artificial satellites. People were now, we're looking at the sky for the first time en masse quite a bit and with a paranoid view. Dr. Luis Corrales of the Communications Ministry in Venezuela spotted Sputnik 2 over Caracas. And Corrales saw a second unknown satellite shadowing Sputnik 2. Now, people are starting to see weird stuff in the sky. In the late 1950s to early 1960s, more and more scientists started studying space to find intelligent life. The Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, the SETI program, was founded. Project OSMA was started by Frank Drake of Cornell University. And a lot of guys, though, the problem is that we're working on our concepts of what an alien would use as technology.
Yeah.
So we assume we use radio, they'll use radio. So they start getting deep into using radio technology to kind of mine the space to see if they bounce something back. Which is, again, it's one of those things that it does sort of happen. It does happen. There's this thing called LDEs. In 1927, a Norwegian engineer by the name of Jørgen Hals was doing some radio experiments and discovered signal echoes that appeared sometime between 1 and 40 seconds after an initial radio transmission was broadcast. So we're shooting shit out into space.
Yeah, LDEs, that's what,
long-delayed radio echoes.
Long-delayed radio echoes, yeah.
They're called long-delayed radio echoes, and they when Hale first identified them, they have been happening on and off ever since. So we sent out a radio signal, yeah. And essentially, like, about a minute or but even up to 40 seconds before, like whatever, it bounces back in this weird way. We don't know what's bouncing off of. They all were saying that it was bouncing off of hidden things in the sky.
Could it bounce off the moon?
Yes.
It probably is bouncing off the moon. We don't really know. But this is where some people believe the Black Knight satellite comes in.
Yeah, we're still kind of unsure exactly what it is. Some people think it's like a geodesic thing, or like it might be something off something on the Earth. There might be something about the magnetic field we don't understand. But
super
yeah.
Thick part of the atmosphere. You know how that is.
Yeah. Is it still there?
Yes.
And we've like gotten up close to it. Have we ever tried to land on it? Or
well, now
it?
we're kind of no. Oh no, the Black Knight satellite. No, we can't find it. It's already gone. If it was up there, it's gone.
Okay.
And so now it's like, or it's moved out of orbit. It's like, you know, that's kind of depending on what you believe about what it was.
So it's probably more of a spaceship than a satellite.
You're getting it. You're starting to really start to understand it. But also the key is that we're past a lot of this technology now. A lot of now we're changing the way we're doing things. I think we're starting to understand that maybe super advanced race wouldn't necessarily work with radio signals. But until then, you know, at this point in the story, though, we're not there yet.
Well, it's sort of the idea of, the idea that, like, nuts and bolts UFOs would take far too long to get here because the scientific principle is that nothing can travel faster than light, and traveling at light speed, it would still take, you know, years upon years upon years for anything to actually get here. So it's kind of stands to reason that if UFOs do exist, if it's nuts and bolts UFOs coming from other alien civilizations, then they would have access to technology that we don't have access to. They would have access to scientific knowledge that we haven't discovered just yet.
And maybe don't understand.
Yeah. So they probably wouldn't. Radio waves are probably if they are nuts and bolts UFOs, they're far beyond radio waves.
Yeah.
But at the time, we don't know that. We assume that radio waves is the far bleeding edge of technology that we're on. So we're trying to kind of talk to this thing back. We believe that we're talking to something and it might be sending something back.
Yeah.
Like signals have been around, and the idea of signals being in the sky have actually been around for a very long time. Technically, before we even started doing these massive like space exploration projects, it starts technically with Tesla, Nikola Tesla. Now, we're all the way back here. I keep dialing the story back.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, of course you have to.
It's one layer after time, because now it's like, okay, how does this connect to the Black Knight satellite? It's up there. Like, let's say at the very top of this is some object that is sitting in our lower orbit, mm-hmm. that's just been there, hanging out.
13,000 years.
13,000 years.
First time we've ever noticed it. It could have been there before then.
And it's also weird because when it was first starting, when people were noticing things in the sky, they said where most things, when they float around the planet Earth, satellites, man-made satellites, they work on the equator line. It wasn't until many, many years later that we can do what's called a polar version of the circlings.
Yeah, that goes around the prime meridian.
Yeah, it goes up and over and over instead of around and around.
Yeah,
I'm
so
fucking bad at the science.
So bad at the science.
The idea is that it's, it normally
Ed
goes
didn't
around.
Even go to college and he's better at this than you.
He just doesn't understand. It's just hard to
graduate high school at 2.0.
It's all about what's real and what's not real. What's real and what's not real. I don't know. So, like, let's just say the Black Knight satellite, this is the full rollout of what it could be. So let's say it's been monitoring Earth for thousands of years. It's in low Earth orbit. It can shift from low to medium Earth orbit, but none of our artificial satellites are necessarily capable of, right? So it means that it's controlling itself. If you look at it from the side, right? Now just seeing the picture of the Black Knight satellite that we have from 1998, it looks like this solid, floaty thing. It looks sort of like a rock.
Yeah.
Right, so this is what we're saying. Like,
it looks like the the obelisk from 2001.
That's what John Keel was all wigged out about. According to John Keel, ufologist and paranormal researcher who wrote the Mothman Prophecies, my boy.
Yeah.
Right. He also wrote a great book that I ended up then buying and reading called Disneyland of the Gods that has like a whole chapter on this. This is so he believes that something left something behind to talk to us or say hello to us as evidence of we came and visited your planet a long time ago. One day you might have the technology to see the rock that we left to say hello. And maybe that's as far as it goes. Or is it signaling back to some other big group of bad, scary, / just aloof aliens that we don't understand and might not necessarily know what our agendas are or care?
It is intimidating looking.
It's cool looking.
Yeah. It
it's
cool
look looking.
It's like a friendly alien ship, I'll tell you that much.
No, it doesn't. But maybe that's their view. But black is also slimming.
Yeah.
And it's kind of dope. You know, I like a matte black car when they do that. Mm. I think it's cool. I like a Batman mobile looking car.
Now, I don't want to throw you off, and if this does, just shoot me down and we can move
on. Bam, 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 backa, 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 blam, 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 blam.
Earth, all right? 4 billion years old.
Sure.
Okay? Dinosaurs, 65 million.
Mm.
So we could have had full-on civilizations, not necessarily human, but other kind of creatures that could have lived on Earth some point.
You're getting into Graham Hancock territory.
Yeah.
So this, if everything on Earth from that is like, you know, sunken into the Earth and turned back into magma because of time.
Magma.
Yes. This is sitting in space.
Yeah.
This could be something from an ancient civilization.
Dude, yeah. Yeah, fucker. Yeah, you fucking idiot. Yeah, that's what I'm fucking talking about. All right? This species of aliens might be called the Watchers.
Yeah.
Right? And they exist primarily in another dimension beyond the bounds of the space-time continuum. Like Galactus.
Or the Watcher.
But real. The Watchers both seeded Earth with life and interface with humans to help steer them towards cultural advancement. This is where we get into those hazy things. I still think that humans on their own could do quite a bit with their thought processes, but I don't really know why. I mean, I don't think they necessarily need alien help, but then I don't think that necessarily doesn't mean that aliens didn't come and say hi.
Yeah.
So these guys came, they arrived on Earth. Let's say the Watchers arrived on Earth 40,000 years ago. They interbred with human women because of our fucking awesome, big, succulent butts.
Yeah.
Because you've seen aliens.
Yeah.
Horrible bodies.
No butts.
No, can you imagine?
Well, if you're talking about grays, yeah. If you're talking about tall whites, that's a different story altogether.
Whoa. Still no butts.
Yeah,
what if humans, I know we always say that humans could be aliens, but what if we're half alien, half Neanderthal?
This is what Eddie's got it right there. Yeah. You're about to be on Joe Rogan's podcast. You're about to be on, in the cabinet for the U.S. government.
I'm just asking questions.
Exactly. That's all we need you to do.
That's all you got
to
do, man.
I know some people say that asking questions can lead to misinformation, but I'm willing to give that a shot.
All I know is I love meeting Miss Information, but you never want to meet her husband, Mr. Information, because he hates what you do with her.
It's mansplaining.
Yeah. The Watchers, they have great knowledge of tool making, mathematics, agriculture, and laws. They gave it all to humanity. You could tell because if you look on the Code of Hammurabi, Marcus, mm-hmm. and if you go to the section that's in the Brennus Museum, you will see there's a UFO on it.
And that's proof.
Yes. The proof of the Watchers can be found as godly depictions of flying saucers on ancient cave paintings throughout the world. We've all been there.
Oh, yeah. This is ancient aliens territory, without a doubt.
They're also known as the Cuckers.
Okay.
Because they watch from space. In the original Star Trek episode, Who Mourns for Adonai? This is all from Joel, by the way. This little section here. This is a race of godlike aliens who claimed to visit Earth during ancient Greece and posed as gods so they could receive the power from being worshipped. Do you know that one?
I'm not a big TOS guy, original series guy.
Yeah.
I'm more of a, well, I'm Next Generation and Deep Space Nine.
You ever watched the original series?
Yeah, I've watched it here and there, but
are you afraid of the unbridled masculinity of James T. Kirk?
No, it's just a mostly dull.
Yeah.
But he kissed those ladies.
He did kiss those ladies, but you know, you can see ladies getting kissed anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you can do it in your house. Yeah. You can put up a mirror and kiss your wife.
Yeah, I can kiss my wife anytime.
Painter green.
That's also a possibility. I can also look up ladies getting painted green and getting kissed on the internet very easily. And then it goes further than that.
Are you searching for that now?
I just looked up green skin women kissing.
Yeah.
Yep. It's pretty prevalent.
No, I'm a Next Generation Deep Space Nine guy, and I love Strange New Worlds.
So John Keel obviously was a huge proponent of this. He very much believed that there was like a seeding race of aliens. I still believe that that is a very simplified version of what could be a very complex biological component to our universe.
Sure.
And I think that it's a lot more mysterious than that. I do believe, which is what John Keel said, but he's entirely correct, if they were communicating with us over any volume of space-time, it probably would need to be psychic because of quantum entanglement.
Which is what?
When quantums become... Well, they call it spooky action at a distance. It's this idea that one of the weird things in quantum mechanics or whatever is that ostensibly two particles can possibly be in the same place at the same time because of the intransient way that matter exists. Right, essentially, I can't wait for the letters on this. Mm-hmm. The idea is that you can maybe, it's kind of during the woo-wee-woo, you can match a frequency in your brain to some other frequency somewhere else in the universe, and then you would instantly be able to speak to each other. That's really just the most goopy way to say psychic communication.
Okay.
It's the idea that, you know, radio waves travel at the speed of light, but thought has no upper limit.
Yeah.
So thought can travel instantaneously, or so the theory goes.
It's like right now, Hillary Clinton naked. Done. Did it. I just even thought about
it. See it.
Yeah. Warwick Davis defending Casey Anthony in jail.
Too late. I already saw him naked.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Maybe that's the only ability I have.
Defending Casey Anthony in jail. So you mean that Casey...
Appeals.
She got convicted in this world. Fake reality.
Oh, yeah.
And Warwick Davis... Willow is her lawyer.
See, the way my brain put it was that Casey Anthony, after going to prison, smuggled Warwick Davis in to act as her personal bodyguard.
And her pussy.
Yeah. But no, I just mean paid off a guard. And
I thought you meant with she boofed him.
No, him with a large sword acted as her personal bodyguard in a women's prison.
That's the power of imagination.
Isn't it?
Back to the Black Knight satellite. Speaking of the power of the imagination. To get deeper into the mystery of the Black Knight satellite, however, we really have to talk about Nikola Tesla. We're back here now.
I was going to ask.
Thank you.
But I didn't want to. I was like, if he's moving past it, I'm just going to leave him.
No, we're back. We're back. Thank you, Joel, for helping with this outline. Nikola Tesla was one of the more important figures in science. Definitely. Developed many things. The electromagnetic wave technology that allowed wireless communication that we all use today.
Indeed.
He also got majorly flamed by Edison. Mm-hmm. And I think largely Tesla was just a weirdo. And they gave him a lot of judgment.
Yeah.
He was kind of goth.
He was too beautiful for this world.
He was too precious.
Yeah. Wait, Edison was probably just like a better hang.
No, Edison was a fucking bastard, but he was an American genius.
Just because you're a bastard doesn't mean you're a bad hang.
He was an evil. Yeah, you're right. Because if you're just hanging with him every once in a while, a bastard's actually kind of a lot of fun. Yeah. It's only when you get close to him.
Yeah, if we're talking like a night out, yeah, I'm going Edison. Dinner, maybe Tesla.
Yes.
Like Tesla might be better for a nice dinner.
Tesla's breakfast. Edison's after dinner drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. I like that. That's a good way to look at it.
And P.T. Barnum's at the hotel room after all of it.
The hotel lobby.
Yeah. That's
right? Waiting for you.
So Tesla, who also worked in Colorado Springs, which I did not know, he was in his laboratory in 1899. Working in the lab late one night. I wish I could do a whole song.
I was working in the lab.
He happened upon a mysterious radio signal.
Eerie sight?
What?
Whoa! It's the Wolfman doing the twist! That Wolfman's now having sex with my father.
So he was watching his signals because he's bored and he's fucking a weirdo. And Tesla believed that there was a greeting of one planet to another from highly intelligent beings. Tesla intercepted dozens of strange radio signals, which he initially believed were from Mars, became to understand that they were from much further away. This inspired him to develop technology capable of sending radio signals to other planets, and it sort of also ruined his entire career. Because he came out saying, big deal, I'm talking to aliens. They sent this triple message where it was knock, 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 and then he sent a four-knock response and got nothing. But there's a lot of talk about whether or not, like, he did pick up something weird, and there have been people who've tried to recreate this same experiment and have gotten this weird chatter back, but they believe that it might come from literally weird space signals bouncing off of Jupiter. Could have been from a pulsar fluctuating or something, or it could have been from other radio technology experiments that were happening at the time, because that is what's super interesting about it, is the fact that there wasn't all of these signals flying through the sky at the time.
Yeah.
So when this popped up, it really felt like really fucking weird.
Yeah. No. Or it could have been
aliens.
Black Knight satellite. Now,
yes.
How does something bounce off of Jupiter? I thought Jupiter was just gas.
Jupiter's gas, but it's solid enough to get bounced off of. Gas can actually be bounced off of in space.
Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
Has to be. Now, this is what Tesla, all of this then comes together when Black Knight is then seen later on, and this idea of there's something talking to another planetary race outside of us, like, kind of all gets souped up. So now, like, this is all of this to be said, is like, this is why the Black Knight satellite started to sort of accrue conspiracy theories around it. And once 1998, like, that kind of set it all off, because what then unearthed was even more weird, legit information about what was going on in the sky and in space at the same time. By the 1960s, the USA and the Soviet Union were competing in the space race. In January 1960, both US and Soviet scientists discovered that what they believed to be an unknown satellite in what they called the polar orbit of the Earth. Neither nation had been capable of launching a satellite into polar orbit. In addition, the polar satellite was believed to be 15 tons, and the heaviest satellite launched at the time was only 1.4 tons. So there were many research establishments that confirmed this thing. So that was the first time we saw something in the sky. We didn't know what it was, right? New York Times, Newsweek, Life magazine reported on this heavy polar satellite, calling it the Black Knight, which is where we get the name. There were countless reports from professional and amateur astronomers, radio operators about the Black Knight, strange radio signals, and these long-delayed echoes. People are all getting these, like, weird things, watches and things in the sky. Partially is just the amount of now eyeballs looking at the sky, especially since, like, the lead-up to having the whole space race go on in the United States, all over the world. Like, everybody's got space on the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone's also super paranoid because of the Cold War, because the Russians got the Sputnik into space first, and we don't know what Sputnik can do. We don't know what anything is, what the Russians are capable of. So people are staring up at the sky looking for shit, and they're very paranoid about what's up there.
And alien entertainment is at an all-time high.
Huge. It It's huge. It's good. Like, people love sci-fi. It is a part of the whole mod movement. But then they get to, so now we show back up. So Clyde Tombaugh, Pluto's agent,
yeah,
he just beat all of these allegations at the time for sexually assaulting Mercury. And when he got past all of that
too
noise.
Too hot to handle.
Yeah.
Oh, too
yeah.
cold to hold. Too,
he's a space lawyer and he's in control. So he believed Earth, he himself believed that Earth had an unknown satellite similar to the moon, but much closer to Earth in low Earth orbit. Tombaugh observed the Black Knight was apparently, and he was able to, he said that it could adjust its orbit and move into medium Earth orbit, which is what I used to do. But now I am moving into extra large yeah. orbit.
Back where you belong.
Where now, I feel comfortable.
The picture we were seeing of the Black Knight satellite, is that the only picture that exists?
There's a couple of other, quote unquote, there are other pictures that exist. According to some conspiracy theorists that you, when you watch their videos, there's some that say like, yeah, that one got debunked. That main picture got debunked, but there are other pictures from other sources that they say exist of it. And it just depends on whether or not you believe that those pictures are real or not.
And the Hubble can't see this thing?
Hubble's got other things on its mind, dog. Hubble's doing other shit. No, it's because it's not looking at us. Hubble's looking out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hubble's looking out at the rest of the space trying to find shit out there.
Oh, and the Hubble's in space.
Yeah, Hubble's in space. Yeah.
Okay.
You can't turn the Hubble around and have it look at Earth.
Nah, yeah. dude, you can't fucking turn that shit around, dude, because honestly, you just look like shit. You ever taken a selfie on the toilet?
What about the observatory? Like the big fucking, you know, there's giant telescopes all over Earth. We haven't been able to spot this thing once.
It's quite, like, think about how big space is and how small this object might be. We don't know.
15 tons.
Yes.
We could spot our own satellites.
Because we know where they are.
Yeah.
It's very big. Very big. Things move very fast up there. February 1960, the U.S. government identified on radar a dark tumbling object in Earth's orbit, and the Navy experienced what they said was another long delayed radio echo. The Defense Department dismissed the object as space debris. Time magazine published an article about the unknown object, speculating that it was the often rumored Black Knight satellite. So it got a lot of coverage. This whole story was pretty legit. It was speculated that the object was a Soviet spy satellite. Soviets like, ain't us.
Of course. Why would they say it was them?
But it was revealed.
True.
It was revealed in a follow-up Times article that the U.S. Navy program Dark Fence was on the lookout for all satellites, U.S., Soviet, or other, and the tumbling object was actually a piece broken off of a U.S. spy satellite, Discoverer 5. Nevertheless, the initial article had spawned a rabid curiosity for the Black Knight satellite. So it's like, this is true. There was stuff floating around out there.
Yeah, we didn't know what it was.
We didn't know what it was because we were trying to shoot stuff into space as much as we could, especially at the time, and some of it just didn't work. Some of it died as soon as we shot it out
there. But it stays in orbit.
For a long time.
Yeah. That until it re-enters the atmosphere and burns up.
Oh, okay. Yes. Because I mean, this is very common. Space debris, which is being seen, misidentified by astronauts. Throughout the 1960s, many U.S. astronauts reported seeing strange things in the Earth's orbit. Astronaut Gordon Cooper made several launches into the Earth's orbit from 1963 to 1966, and he saw multiple unknown objects. Faith 7, when he did that flight, Cooper saw an unknown object that was confirmed by 100 other people who spotted it on radar. In 1966, Cooper was on another mission orbiting Earth when he saw a green glowing orb that was confirmed on radar by the Australian Moochea Observation Station. So people see shit out there all the time.
Drives me crazy, though. You're out there. You're an astronaut. You're orbiting space. You're looking for shit. Take a fucking picture. I know, like, if we miss an alien because we're like, holy shit, that's an alien. You know, we don't take a picture. You're out. That's what you're doing.
But the problem
is out there patrolling space. Take the fucking picture.
But I think the problem is that the cameras are not as good as we wanted them to be. And then when you went to go take the picture, it would look like how when, you know how everybody is a professional photographer on July 4th mm-hmm. taking pictures of fireworks, and they're like, oh, that's awesome. Oh, great. And then later on, you have to go watch some guy's video of the fireworks because you're caught in an Uber pool with him. And he's like, see this right here? This is the fireworks before I watched my daughter die. My daughter died of asthma in my arms. She died of fucking asthma. And then you're looking at the fireworks, and it's just little fart blips on it.
Yeah.
If an astronaut is telling me about his daughter died and show me pictures.
it's, well, like, it's 1966. Yeah. So, you know, he's not going to bring like a camera technology isn't quite there yet.
For sure. But we're also like, we're currently cruising out there all the fucking time. You know, Katy Perry and Gayle King got back this morning.
They should have stayed. You should have left her up there.
Except Katy Perry, again, she's still my choice.
Yeah. Speaking of fireworks.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
We're gonna get sued.
No.
Also, what cracks me up is I watch the morning show, and like when I was watching the morning show, and I was like, "This show is fucking jump the shark." Is when they sent Reese Witherspoon to space, and now it just happened.
Yep.
And now it just happened. I'm like, "Oh, like, so I'm actually a fucking idiot because I thought that was ridiculous."
Nope. No. Say, just let them keep going. Send another blaster.
Live from your grave.
So this is all of this is very interesting. Eventually, Cooper would come out and he'd say that he didn't believe in the Black Knight satellite. He'd have to come and recant that he said he saw things. I think it's because guys got to him.
But I mean,
he was fucking being a bitch about it. Yeah, that's what I said.
Well, there's been plenty of astronauts over. Astronauts kind of go one of two ways. You know, they either like, yeah, I saw weird shit out there and I can't explain it. Or they say there's nothing out there that we can't explain. If I can't identify it, that just means I didn't know what it was. It doesn't mean that it's necessarily
an alien. He's correct.
Or anything like that.
Also, there's a lot more interesting things that could be in space and in the air that are not necessarily extraterrestrial life.
Sure.
I think if an astronaut goes up there, sees some shit, and comes back and tells us, that makes him a bad astronaut.
Yeah, you keep it to yourself, all right? Because that's your one
job. You're working for the government. You're up there finding secrets.
I think it's because space changes you. They always say it.
Mm-hmm.
Space changes you.
Makes you taller.
Makes you taller, but it does. It gives you there's an aloofness. They say that I think it was Buzz Aldrin talked about the depression.
Yeah.
Before he went up there, his name was Frank.
Call me Buzz.
Yeah, give me five beers. They call me Drunkle. That's stupid. Dr. Ronald Bracewell of Stanford University eventually would publish articles about the possibility of communicating between extraterrestrials and other star systems and the difficulty because of how big space is. Bracewell theorized that a satellite could send out radio signals to see if any were reflected back, which could be the result of intelligent life intentionally reflecting the signal to indicate communication was possible. So imagine, like, it was just popped up there a long time ago as some observer thing, and whatever was attached to it's long dead. But maybe that's one way to look at it, right? Maybe whatever purpose that thing served a long time ago, it is now over, and now we're hearing the echoes of it constantly bouncing around our ionosphere. Maybe that's something.
Okay.
Again, or is it a blanket? There's a lot of people that still think it's a blanket. There's a belief. There's obviously, we don't know where these other alien races are and where they might be. I still believe that it would be highly ignorant to say that there's not another physical alien race somewhere in the universe.
Sure. I think ignorant, more it's self-centered as well.
Unless, of course, the universe is something that we don't know what it is either. Or if reality is something that we barely understand. We don't even really understand what consciousness is and why we have consciousness and why we can't find another consciousness. Because we also don't know what is the prerogative. What is the evolutionary prerogative of consciousness? We don't know. There's also people that believe that maybe these radio signals and all this way of talking about this is also super wrong. We're looking at it all wrong. Maybe it needs to be math. Dr. Hans Freudenthal in the Netherlands. He believed math was the most plausible form of communication between alien beings. And this is not a joke. He created a language of what you would just say beeps and bloops. So you go beep, 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 bloop, bleep, bloop.
Close encounters.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it's with beeps and bloops. And they could easily form simple mathematical formulas that would be understood by alien life and repeated back. Sounds like binary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's beeps and bloops.
Beep, it makes sense
bloop,
to
beep,
me.
Beep, bloop. Yeah.
I think that typing out the words beep, bloop, and typing that a lot into space, I feel like that's affecting some of the way we're taking this seriously or not.
I think, yeah. Beep, bloop. If we could get a better, more scientific word than beep and bloop.
Well, we do.
Just call it binary.
That's what you'd say.
Binary audio cues.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Beep bloops.
Beep bloops.
No, we call them BACs, BACs.
See, this was also, like, this was one way to do it. But the main thing that all of us centers around is a Scottish insane person by the name of Duncan Lunan.
Yeah. Amateur astronomer.
And anybody can be one. Yeah. That's the best part. You just got to buy a telescope and get drunk.
Not wear pants.
Hey, if you're serious about it. Because they're Scotland, because they all wear skirts. Mm-hmm. In the 1970s, Scottish amateur astronomer and science fiction writer Duncan Lunan collected all of the known strange radio signal events and long-delayed radio echo instances from history. So he said he put all of these things together. He did a lot of years and years of research, and he plotted out all the data onto a graph, and he said a star map emerged. So this is what he believed was being pinged off of the Black Knight satellite. Okay. And he collected all of these things, and that's what the Black Knight satellite is doing. So this is the message. Lunan found that the data points, they led to the star Epsilon Butis. And within the data, there was also a message. Start there. Our home is Upsilon Butis, which is a double star. We live on the sixth planet of seven, coming from the sun, which is the larger of the two. Our sixth planet is one moon. Our fourth planet is three. Our first and third planets each have one. Our probe is in the position of Arcturus, known in our maps. Right?
So in his world, the aliens are Scottish as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shockingly. Duncan Lunan believed the aliens had been on Earth thousands of years ago and had left the Black Knight satellite behind with a message that could be translated once humankind had developed significant technology to do so. So the idea is that it's just there until we can say hi. And then when we say hi, guess what it said? Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, we didn't say hi correctly.
Or, I guess. Or yeah. Not quick enough.
What's right? So it might be dead.
I mean, who knows? Lunan shared his findings with several of his peers at the British Interplanetary Society, and the vice president, Kenneth Gatlin, replicated Lunan's work and found the conclusions to be credible. He said, all right, I'll take a look at your data points then. Fuck right. That's some cool ass fucking data points then. It's aliens in here. I tell you, motherfucker. Sounds tell like that aliens that go fuck yourself.
Sounds like a peer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, Epsilon Butis is 103 million light years from Earth.
That's far.
Yeah.
Duncan Lunan's star charts displayed the position of Epsilon Butis from 13,000 years ago, which places the arrival of the Black Knight satellite at exactly 13,000 years ago, and suggests the aliens of Epsilon Butis are capable of traveling several times faster than the speed of light. And that's real fast. Coincidentally, between 11,000 and 13,000 years ago was also when the lost civilization of Atlantis fell.
Oh.
Antediluvian.
It's got to be real. You know how it is. You get in there, people are trying to dig it out. They made a nuclear bomb. They blew themselves up. Had crystals for heads.
Where do they think Atlantis is?
South.
Of?
Us. Which is down. See, to Duncan Lunan and his friends, the placing of the Black Knight satellite in orbit made several kinds of sense. Several kinds of many different types of sense. For one, it would ensure the satellite would last for thousands, if not millions, of years. Mm-hmm. Because in orbit, it would not be affected by weather and geological disturbances. There's nothing in space. They can just hang out there.
Except for all of our satellites.
A lot of stuff. And two, by being in orbit, the only way it could be accessed was when humankind had advanced technologically and culturally enough to handle the possibility of alien life, because it knew it couldn't protect ourselves from ourselves.
This seems to be a bit of a contradiction, though.
What? Fuck you. How fucking dare you?
Well, just come with me on this.
Yeah.
I'm asking a question. How do the ancient alien theorists, how do they balance that idea of aliens have been visiting us for millennia and giving us all this technology and so on and so forth with we have to wait until we're sufficient, like culturally advanced enough to accept the possibility of alien life?
It's a very good question. I still feel that these are people. As soon as I hear two words, pyramids of Giza and Göbekli Tepe,
yep,
I shut it off.
What's Göbekli Tepe?
Göbekli Tepe is it is interesting. It is a
much farther along advanced city than we thought humans would have developed when we found it. So we found this city underground. It was very, like, well built out,
yeah.
Which is, like, you know, it's considered now, like, it might set the benchmark for when we started building organized cities earlier. But that doesn't mean that it's, like, when you look at Göbekli Tepe, when it is it's still made out of the same stuff as everything else.
Is
it's
it
not
in
like
Egypt
it's made
also?
Out,
no.
It's in a place like that.
Okay.
But it's where other old stuff is.
It's in Turkey.
Okay.
Yeah. Right next to mashed potatoes. my favorite town in Turkey.
Yeah. Because it reminds you of your breasts.
I don't want to be reminded of my breasts anymore. I don't want to think about my tits. It's not about this. I like other tits. I like outsourced tits. My wife's. So it was possible. Maybe that the Epsilon Beatus aliens, they scour galaxies looking for life, and when they see something that's got life in it, they leave a Black Knight satellite behind as a way of collecting various species into the Galactic Federation as like a bookmark, as a marker. I still think, again, all of this is, there are still like maybe more interesting ways to explain this, but just like they came and they made them, they, you know, because I do believe it is a double standard, Marcus.
Yeah.
I don't believe in the ancient aliens concept.
No.
But I also don't think that doesn't necessarily mean that we have not been maybe visited by something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think we've been visited for, you know, decades and centuries and millennia.
Just what it even means.
But I also believe that humans are perfectly capable of building anything that is on this Earth.
Oh, yes. Of course. Because I think that that's what happened.
Yeah.
Because you'd be surprised if you have time, what it can do for you.
Yeah.
Right?
And,
like,
and no laws.
No laws.
Yeah.
But also, they didn't, more of those we now know had artisans working on them, and a lot of it was more that if you're an artisan, your son can be an artisan whether he likes it or not. Mm-hmm. And he's going to show up, he's going to be trained in it, and he's going to work on it whether he wants to or not, because that's his job.
Mm-hmm.
So after a few years, after Duncan Lunan proposed this Black Knight satellite theory, right, that this is a pinion point, like all of this stuff is all coming together for him. He took it all back, believing the community had taken it too far. Because he couldn't get, it's the audience that ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's saying.
As it often happens.
That's what happens, man. Like Tool. It's the audience that ruined it.
They are awful fans.
Yes.
They no are offense. Worst. I know there's lots of listeners.
No, like, this is, but it was too late. Now we're already, the public had been prepared for the possibility of alien life since the UFO sighting started in the 1940s. Maybe now this is where the cover-up is really beginning. In 1973, science fiction author and ufologist John McVeigh analyzed the long-delayed echoes and concluded that he thought they were from an alien probe orbiting the moon, which helped to explain why LDEs seemed to appear and disappear at random when the probe was behind the moon, no LDEs, and when it was in front of the moon, LDEs come back because it was hiding behind the moon.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Sound fragments. So John McVeigh and Dr. Ronald Bracewell, they worked together to catalog LDEs and separately confirmed they held coordinates for a star map that led to Epsilon Beatus. McVeigh wrote a book called Man and the Stars about their work, which allowed amateur ufologists to make more connections, including possibility that the LDE data lined up with Stonehenge and the Great Pyramid of Giza. And that's where I check out. As soon as they're all together hanging out,
yeah,
like Stonehenge, the Great Pyramid of Giza, like, I do wish they could hang out. I think they'd like each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's multiple Stonehenges, right?
There's henges.
There's henges, yes.
But Stonehenge is the capital.
That's
of
the big one. That's the best one.
That's the Bane one. That's the Ariana Grande of them.
And we still have no idea how.
Yeah, we do.
How?
Dragon. It dragged them.
Drag them. Not dragons.
Not a dragon.
No, not a dragon. No.
What they would do is literally they would dig them up from the sacred area. They had a special rock that they wanted, and they legitimately would take these giant slats of wood, and they would lay them out in front of it, and they'd drag it along the slats, move the slats in front of the rock, drag it along the slats, move the slats in front of the rock. It just took a very long time.
It had to have taken like 100 years.
Well, that's the one thing that I think modern humans can't wrap their heads around is that, like, when you don't have, like, anything to do,
yeah,
you got a lot of time to kill.
And and that's your purpose in life.
Yeah, that's
those
your whole
are some
thing.
Smooth-ass rocks, too. Because they would have had to like really smooth them
they
out.
They did.
And, like,
and they were probably a lot smoother than we see them now.
They're not smoother now with the rain?
I'd say they are probably more craggy now than they were.
Cool.
Have you ever been?
No.
No, I've always wanted to. It's like an hour and a half outside of London. And I keep meaning to go. But now it's like sad because I believe it's literally because of Ozzy Osbourne. You're not allowed to go near it.
Did he piss on that too?
I think he did something like that happened. I forget what kept people from going. You can't go to Stonehenge.
Yeah, you
have to
like,
look
walk,
at it from a
yeah,
hill.
You can't walk around or anything like that. Like you have to look at it from a distance.
Yes. Ah. So now finally, this whole story brings me back to something that makes me extremely difficult. Which is the story behind Philip K. Dick and his visitations from an ancient alien source. Now, this is not going to be the entire Philip K. Dick Vallis series, because I have been reading The Exegesis, and it is hard.
Yes.
It is very hard. He gets very scientific, and he has gone insane. So it's a lot of it. He's the world's smartest man. For those of you that don't know, Philip K. Dick, he wrote some
Blade
of your...
Blade Runner, right?
He wrote the movie, yes, the book that the Blade Runner is based off.
Yeah.
Flow My Tears, a Policeman Said. He also wrote Man in the High Castle. Philip K. Dick, probably one of the top auteurs of the American century.
Yeah.
I love him. In 1974, Philip K. Dick received a series of mystical and prophetic visions. Downloaded into his brain, maybe, via the Black Knight satellite, which he called Vallis, the Vast Active Living Intelligence System. PKD wrote them this download as it's an 800-page novel, this exegesis.
PKD, by the way, that's Philip K. Dick. That's
PKD.
Just so everyone knows. Not everyone knows your shorthand.
I said Philip K. Dick. Now, Philip K. Dick, they can follow along. I don't tell you.
Yeah.
All right? Life comes at you fast.
In so, Vallis, that's in Texas.
PKD interpreted much of his visions downloaded by Vallis. So he saw a pink laser shoot into the center of his brain, and it blew up his whole fucking... It blew him up, right? Like, he started understanding time isn't real. He saw himself in Roman times under, like, as an ancient Christian, and it literally devastated him. It destroyed his life. He saw this thing. It was a whole Christian iconography he applied to it. The Black Knight satellite revealed to PKD that it had been placed in orbit by these three-eyed crab-clawed beings from Formelhaut, a star in the Pisces constellation. And that's where the Jesus connection comes from. It's this idea that the Pisces constellation, the fish, is what was the spirit God inside of Jesus Christ came from. The alien that inhabited Jesus Christ came from the Pisces constellation.
Okay. That's why he gave away all the fish.
Oh, yeah. He no, couldn't
fish is
sell
a big
it.
Part of it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Jesus fish, all that stuff. Yeah.
So PKD believed Soviet scientists were going to try to reveal Vallis' secrets. He was obviously very, very paranoid. PKD said his download from Vallis began his visions of St. Elmo's fire, which is like a pink, he said it's like a plasma ray. He said he described it to an abstract of Vasily Kandinsky. You know what those are?
No.
Yeah. Kandinsky's, yeah.
Yeah, look him up. Show him, Eddie. Show Eddie.
What is it? Kandinsky.
He's an artist.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a thing.
No.
Nope. It's his stuff. Wait. Looks like this. That's just shot into his brain.
Oh,
all these blobs.
Okay, cool.
All these blobs shot into his brain, right?
I love that.
We all do.
That's all very cool.
I wish it was real.
I mean, it's art.
It's cool. So PKD, he came to all, we call these aliens, much how John Keel called them the Watchers, and many people have talked about the Watchers. He called them the Builders. He thought Vallis was a benign entity and the protector that helped him in his remaining years. And one day after the download, PKD was singing along to the Beatles' Strawberry Fields Forever, and Vallis changed the lyrics in his brain into a warning.
Lucy Marcus. In the Sky with Diamonds. Yeah.
Your son has an undiagnosed right inguinal hernia. The hydrocell has burst, and it has descended into the scrotal sac. He requires immediate attention or will soon die.
That's the key.
Or will soon die.
And was that true?
Yes. PKD rushed his son to the hospital And it was true. Furthermore, this is one of those weird things that it was true. You don't know whether or not, or do we know more things in our unconscious than in our conscience? Like, are there things that we can know without woo-wee-woo stuff? But can you maybe be noticing things about your son that you are not consciously processing? Yeah. But somewhere back here you're processing, and then all of a sudden it's like a eureka moment when the unconscious touches the conscious. Who knows?
Yeah.
Or is it a robot from space?
Or simply following your gut.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the idea. Like, what is the gut?
What is the gut?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what we're saying. It's like
survival instincts.
But there are some people that really do believe, and it was an ancient psychology, and now like this concept of like people, you'll still talk about this. I did not know there are people that are walking around that don't have a voice in their head.
Yeah.
That they just got nothing.
Yeah, no internal monologue.
There are some people that still believe, like, and kind of idea of, like, where does the internal monologue come from? Who is that? Who do we talk to? Who is the observer?
It's just thinking.
But what is thinking? If you're talking, what is thinking, Eddie?
I mean, you're just rationalizing shit in your head, trying to figure out the problem.
Yeah. He needs to get more. I need him to have more generalized anxiety. Yeah. So this is like, you really should read all of his books. So PKD.
What if I just read one? Yeah.
Read What Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. You already know the story. It's very short.
You would like it.
You have fun
it's actually,
with it.
You'd be surprised how strange PKD is if you actually read it. It's like not straight up and down sci-fi at all. It's very, very weird.
Man in the High Castle. It's got Nazis.
Man in the High Castle is wonderful. It's an alternative history about if the Nazis won.
I know.
And let me guess.
Successful
let me tell
TV
you.
Show.
Yeah, let me tell you. Guess what?
What?
It's not good.
Not good.
No.
Now, the most recent evidence of the Black Knight satellite. So for those of you that want to know, go read Radio Free Albemuth, The Divine Invasion, The Transmigration of Timothy Archer, and Valis. That is the Valis series. It all talks about Valis is a very touching, scary book about a man you're watching. Because it's essentially a hidden autobiography, and you're watching Philip K. Dick wrestle with this thing of like, am I crazy or is this real? And he's the smartest man in the world, and he is tortured by this.
He's too creative for his own good.
And he died of a brain aneurysm not too shortly after this.
Yeah, I mean, there was he would sometimes if. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but he claimed that like Man in the High Castle traveled to that, like he could jump dimensions and he actually traveled to another dimension in which he saw, the Nazis won and then came back and wrote the book.
Yeah, he did a whole he believed in this emotional truth. He started to really believe that every one of his books were from a real alternative future.
Sounds like he's like the only guy who can remember his dreams.
He really had lost his mind. He's just also great. Philip K. Dick what an amazing character. He's fucking, he was a big dude too. He's a fucking huge man. Now, the most recent evidence of the Black Knight satellite is a photo. We now know it's from the ISS 1998. The NASA STS-88 mission had the space shuttle Endeavour transporting modules for construction of the ISS, and one of the astronauts snapped a photo of the Black Knight satellite.
So this is what I'm asking for.
This is what it was.
Yeah.
That's what that picture was that you
see. That's what exact picture is?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
However, now we're getting to the bummer section. There are a number of skeptics who claim that the Black Knight satellite photo is actually just a photo of a blanket. Space trash. Officially, NASA says the object is space junk. No, space junk number 025570. And that actually it burned up in the atmosphere a few days after the picture was taken. The thermal blankets were used to cover the trunnion pins on the modules, and one happened to float into space, allegedly, during spacewalk. Astronaut commander Robert Cabana was even reported saying, "Jenny, one of them thermal covers got away from you, my friend."
That sounds like Roberto Cabana.
So did a blanket go missing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's probably the blanket.
Or NASA engineer James Oberg and cosmonaut Sergei Krikalev also claimed the Black Knight satellite photo is just a photo of a lost thermal blanket, which looks like an alien object because there's no gravity in space and something like a blanket will maintain its shape. If you look at also, there's a bunch of AI breakdowns where they try to say, look, it's solid. Oh, you can see, but it could maybe very well be a blanket. I don't know.
I can see why people would think it's a blanket because of the ruffles and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, because there's a lot of stuff. Most people believe the testimony from the astronauts saying that it's part of a cover-up, maybe.
NASA removed the photo of the thermal blanket from their official website, leading to even more cover-up speculation. They dumped it in the trash.
I mean, just keep it up there.
But that's the thing. They have to go and make it extra mysterious by deleting it. And it turns out there's, you know what? What's fucked up, though, which is true. There's a lot of trash in space.
Tons of trash.
There's a lot of trash. A lot of trash.
Satellites don't even work anymore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's some of it's left up there. Most of it burns up in the atmosphere. Some of it crashes into the ocean. In 2006, a spatula was lost during the Space Shuttle Discovery's mission to the International Space Station. In 2008, astronaut Heidi Steffenschnim-Piper.
Like a single spatula?
A single spatula, yeah.
Was lost?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like someone did something they shouldn't have done and fucking hid that shit.
That's my thing. I just throw that spatula.
Yeah. All right. That's evidence.
It's fun to do. this astronaut lost her grip on a tool bag during a spacewalk and was repairing jammed gear for a solar panel. The bag weighed 30 pounds and had $100,000 worth of space-ready tools. It could still be seen on radar.
Really?
Oh, yeah, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, and you can snag that thing. You make a cool $100,000.
That's some good-ass money, dude. Like, I always think about that meteorite. I can't believe that movie wasn't made. That's going to crash somewhere. That's got, like, 12... It's like a meteorite made out of, like, $12 billion worth of gold.
Yeah.
We don't know where that is. In 2007, a 1,400-pound tank of ammonia was thrown overboard from the ISS because NASA said they needed to free up room on the shuttle's return trip to Earth. It was in orbit for a year before it burned up in the atmosphere. So NASA developed urine recycling systems. They used to just dump their pee.
Why not?
I actually think I missed that.
What, just shooting pee? Did they shoot the feces as well?
Yeah, of course.
Why would shoot it into space?
Because they think it's just gross.
You can now recycle it. Like, they now recycle the urine
to drink drinkable
water.
Pee-pee water.
Shoot it in the space.
Come on, let's shoot it in the space.
It's crystals out there. Little twinkly stars.
This is actually...
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
But this is truly interesting. 2012. Classified documents were unsealed regarding the U.S. spy satellite program Corona.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting name. Which operated from 1959 to 1972. The spy satellites would take photos over the Soviet Union, then dump the film back to Earth by parachute. There were at least 23 Corona spy satellites in medium Earth orbit between 600 and 1,000 miles above Earth. So it is quite possible that a lot of these unknown objects that were spotted during that time period were our own secret U.S. spy satellites.
Okay.
Yeah. That's one of the things about where we are today and, like, just as far as information disclosure goes and as far as belief goes, is that there was so much shit during the Cold War, so much secret shit going on.
Oh, yeah.
That we didn't want the Russians to know about, and the Russians doing so much secret shit that they didn't want us to know about, that all of us were lying all the time about what everything was.
Yes.
So it really did just erode the trust of the public.
And then China started launching shit.
Yeah, and they're not telling the truth either.
And
so
now we got, like, fucking billionaires launching shit.
Yeah.
So Lord knows what they got up there.
Yeah. But I guess the point is that, you know, this stuff is where conspiracy breeds, because people do notice it. They do see it.
Of course.
And the government can't come out and say, like, oh, yeah, that's a spy satellite because we need to check out Rostov on Don, you know, every 6 weeks. So they lie about it, and conspiracy breeds, and that's where we are in the 21st century now.
Yeah. Think about what we just dealt with the balloons.
Yeah.
The Chinese spy balloons. We had to deal with all of this where we had to make a big deal, but, like, oh, I can't believe they're spying on us when we're watching them from space.
Of course they're spying on each other all the time.
Yes.
And think about that. I mean, the drone flap was what, 5 months ago?
Yeah.
No one's fucking talking about it anymore.
It's already gone.
It's gone. It's over.
Because it probably was an AI piloted drone program.
Yeah, could be. But that's the thing. No one told us what it was. No one told us that. And it was just there, and it's gone, and now it's in the ether. That was 5 months. That was 5 fucking months ago.
You
got
to tell
me.
Feels
like a lifetime ago.
Well, I'm still thinking about it. I can't get a straight answer out of Henry anytime.
But I'm just used to being ignored, but because mystery is important, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's all about answering the questions, because not every question has an answer. Some questions are just there to postulate.
Why were the airport shut down? That's a good question.
It's very scary, Eddie. None of us will know. But the Black Knight satellite mystery remains. In March of 2017, the Daily Mail published an article that claimed, as reported by Secure Team 10 YouTube's channel, that the Black Knight satellite was shot down by the elite Illuminati UFO hunters. So good night, Black Knight satellite, and thank you for your service.
Oh.
So I find, I think anything that, like, that makes people look to the sky is fun. And I think that, like, yes, obviously there, this can be very easily debunked and torn apart, but there's still something about the mystery of space. It's why we do this. It is as mysterious as the you know, like the bottom of the ocean. We don't know what's going on. No. That's why we got all the Cthulhu stuff and Kraken and all that kind of stuff. It's the same thing as up there. And until one day we master space, which we will never.
No.
No.
The mysteries impossible. Will continue.
Well, I think that's great. I mean, I love knowing about it, but you know, it does seem like a blanket now that we're really talking about it.
It's probably a blanket.
Look at it real hard. It does, yeah.
It's got a blanket aspect to it, yes. Yeah, I can't see that.
Zoom in, like, when you zoom out, it looks like a rock. But yeah, when you get in there.
But
yeah.
I do want to one day have proper, I want to do something where we make Tesla look cool again.
Well, it's difficult. Impossible now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually it is impossible now. Yeah, yeah. That poor like it's just
poor
God,
sad man.
That poor sad just still his reputation and his name is just shit on and shit on and shit
oh,
on
yeah,
forever.
Yeah.
Like it's now like forever ruined.
He's just like, what? He sees like what's happening now. He's just like, oh, what the living fucking hell, no one what? I thought we were gonna be talking to angels. Like Tesla thought he was talking to angels. So, well, you know, but I am right now. Hey. I'm talking to two angels, Eddie and Marcus. Thank you for letting me lead this episode.
Of course, no, thank you for doing it. I'm glad.
I want to thank Joel McKean, our head researcher. He helped me write this whole fucking thing. I needed it, obviously. And, you know, again, just helping people ask questions.
Honestly, I hope I get to a point where I learn about every single fucking alien thing that's coming. And it's good that it feels good. I'm glad we're doing this right before Contact in the Desert.
Yes.
Because we're going there and it's always good to know a little bit more so I can ask questions whenever I'm talking to these people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's very helpful.
And for those of you that are single out there, it helps you flirt.
Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff you got to flirt with at Contact.
I think that's advice for the ladies, not for the men.
Not the men need men just know. Can women arrive? Women should go to Contact in the Desert.
No, there was plenty of women at Contact in the Desert. They're all selling crystals, though.
Staff, yeah.
Yeah, staff. Need to get some more ladies in there. Come check it out. Patreon.com/classpodcast. When we're back from Contact, we're going to have so much extra footage there. You can pay to watch us yell and scream and pay to watch us live on Patreon Tuesdays at 6 p.m. It is our for last stream on the left. We have a lot of fucking fun.
Yep, and you can watch us live on Patreon if you want the unedited version of last stream on the left. What goes over to YouTube is not the entire show, so if you want to watch that thing live and get the entire thing and interact with us on the chat, go to patreon.com/lastpodcastontheleft. And if you want to interact with all the other clips and shit that we post, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at LP on the left.
Yeah.
And if you want to interact with us using your eyeballs, go to lastpodcastontheleft.com to see which cities we're coming to.
That's right. We are next one we're doing is going to be Toronto, but that's already sold out on May 3rd.
It's already sold out.
So make sure you if you can't go to that, we got Atlanta in June, Salt Lake City. My first time doing a big outdoor show. I'm very excited for that.
It's going to
be
interesting.
In July. We basically do one a month, except for in August, we're doing two. We're doing Durham and Charlotte. And then we're going to keep coming. We got cities booked once a month for the whole rest of the year, a month.
We got Oakland and we got Portland coming up in December. So
yeah,
go to lastpodcastontheleft.com to see which city near you that we're coming to.
Also, Invasive Species is going to be real soon. Right, I'm going straight from Toronto right down to Florida. I'm going to do my second leg of this tour. It's going to be amazing. I got Naples on the 6th. With Henry, I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale on the 7th. And then on the 8th, Henry and I are going to be in Orlando at the Funny Bone. And I'm doing that full weekend in Key West, which is going to be a fucking blast. I don't know if people go to Key West anymore. I fucking love that place. It could wash away at any moment.
Yep.
So this might be your last time to go.
It's the only way.
Yes. And then make sure you come see us in May at Contact in the Desert, which is the last day of May, and then the first 2 days of June. That's going to be a fucking blast. You love it. It's like a goddamn cruise ship.
I can't
in
wait.
The desert.
Yeah.
We're all talking about aliens.
Oh, yeah. Then come to Crime Wave with C/last. This is... We got a
lot going on, don't we?
This
we
whole do. Fucking year is booked. Booked. Solid. Thank you, Henry. This was so nice.
Yes, thank
that you.
You
did this.
Yes.
I appreciate you like taking time and doing it because I feel like the alien stuff has been slept on lately, and it's such a major part of the show. And thank you for that.
Yeah. We're bringing it back.
Yeah,
I don't care what anybody says.
With your goon shirt, how is your gooning going?
Poor.
Yeah.
I just go, man. I just go.
What's the point? It's more of an aspirational shirt than
it is. Spoon, it's to inspire others. Yeah. Goon. Because I cannot. Goodbye. Hail Gooning.
Hail Heen.
And hail Philip K. Dick.
Yeah, it's my boy!
PKD.
Fuck at it.